For some people, peace is something that happens for a moment or for a short time in between the rat race and the busyness of life. We know what it's not like, what it's like to not have peace. We really understand that feeling, to be at odds with somebody else, to be fighting or disagreeing with something in this world. But do we really know peace? And today, as we come to our second Sunday of Advent, we're looking at peace. We're going to be looking at four different aspects of Advent. I looked at hope last week, and I hope that you had a hope-filled week this last week. Okay, I was hoping that would get a response. Hope. Today, it's peace. Next week is joy, and we have the joy maestro himself, Peter Benson, sharing next week. Woo! Hallelujah! And then love. But that's not where it ends. Advent is leading up to the 25th when we welcome our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not just four Sundays. It's actually five moments that we celebrate. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, Advent opens our prison door from the outside. Advent opens our prison door from the outside. He was in a prison cell, a Nazi cell, in 1943, a few weeks before Advent, and he wrote to a friend and he said, a prison cell in which one waits, hopes, does various unessential things, and is completely dependent on the fact that the door of freedom has to be opened from the outside is not a bad picture of Advent. Advent opens our prison door from the outside. Shortly after he wrote these words, he was executed. But he was right. The door to freedom, the door to peace, the door to hope and love and joy, that prison door, that door is opened from the outside. And so as we come to these four Sundays of Advent and Christmas, look at the door and see how God is opening it in your life. Our scripture reading is from John 14 this morning, and we're reading from verse 15 to 31. This is the word of the Lord. If you love me, you will obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, in brackets, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. Okay, don't leave. Okay, the last verse, the last line of that scripture says, let's leave, but let's not leave. Those words that were hidden in the middle there relating to peace, I'm not sure if you picked them up, but Jesus says this, and it's an incredible privilege and honor for us to read these three lines. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And I just want to look at those three lines this morning as we relate to peace this morning. Isaiah told us last week that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And at this time of the year, we often sing or hear or remember the words, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those with whom his favor rests." This is in response to the birth of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you." Jesus is saying that peace is our possession. He's left it here for us. It has been gifted to us. He's saying it is something we inherit from him. I'm curious why, out of all of the fruit of the Spirit, he decided that he needed to highlight peace in the scripture. It's most probably because of what the disciples were going through at that time. He was about to go to the cross. He had just told them that he was going to be crucified, that he was not going to be with them anymore. That's a shocking thing for somebody to tell their followers. And so I'm sure that's why he uses this word, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." And this whole section of scripture is dealing with the promised Holy Spirit. But Jesus highlights peace. It's as though he's bequeathing peace to us. He owns all peace. He doesn't own a lot of earthly possessions. He owned almost nothing. But he really did have the handle on peace. And so he's giving that to his followers. As we gather here this morning, and I made this next slide, I hope we're kind of keeping up with each other. But this next slide, therefore, and it's really important, if you are one who has turned to Christ and put your faith in him, you have his peace. And I made it capital letters because apparently that means you're shouting it or making it important, young people. Yes, okay, I've got to put capitals. You have his peace. If you're a follower of Christ, you have his peace. It is in you. It's been given to you. It's a gift to you. We're going to talk about how you live in it, of course, because now everybody's going, "But I don't always feel it." That's okay. But this is really one of the beautiful things of the Christian faith, that we have this gift of peace. We have what other people seek. The possession that many other people long for, we have been given. Then Jesus says, "I do not give to you as the world gives." So how does the world give peace? Well, one way is by avoidance. Picture for a moment, there is a dinner party happening. The host is welcoming the guests. They're coming into the living room. They're all, they've got some champagne most probably. There's a big party happening. Everybody's happy and joyous. And in the corner is a television set. And suddenly the news reporter comes on the television set and announces that there's a war broken out. What does the host do? He walks over to the TV and just switches it off. He avoids having to deal with that. And the world sometimes calls us to deal with needing peace in that same way. Just stop that, avoid that, don't go there, ignore that. And that's sometimes how we sometimes how we deal with our need for peace as well. We sometimes avoid those things, the sore things, the hard things, put them out of sight, out of mind. And there might be a moment of peace, but that's not true peace. It's really just running away from a problem. So as well as avoiding, there's also the thing that the world tries to do is distract us. Back at the dinner party, everybody's having a great time. The television's still playing. The host this time walks over as the news report starts to roll about the war that's broken out, picks up the remote and changes channel, finding something that's more joyous or fun or happy to watch. A distraction. And sometimes the world tries to give us peace by distracting us. Don't worry about that. Look at this. Leave that. Do this. And we know what those distractions are that the world tries to throw in front of us. And sometimes we fall for that trap as well as we try and find peace in our lives. The third kind of peace that the world sometimes tries to give us is the wishful thinking peace. The dinner party is going on. Champagne's flowing. Everybody's happy. The television is still playing in the background. The news reporter comes on and announces this war that's broken out. The host simply says, "Oh, that's terrible. But you know, everything will be all right. Don't worry. Be happy." Sometimes the world tries to sell us on the fact that wishful thinking is the way that we can find peace. These are the glasses always half full kind of people. They do a good job at cheering us up when we're down. They'll pat you on the back and tell you everything's going to work out. Maybe they'll even share a scripture. All things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purposes. There's nothing wrong with that scripture. But if you've been in a place of seeking peace, sometimes that doesn't bring the peace you're looking for. The everything's going to be all right or the wishful thinking doesn't always help us when we look for peace. There's other ways that the world tries to bring us peace. Just relax. Just relax. If you say that to your wife in a heated moment, you're not going to experience peace, okay? It's a hot marriage tip. Okay, all of the men are going, "Don't worry, Brian, we've tried it. Didn't work. We know that now. Could you not have told us this a number of years ago?" But sometimes the world just says to us, "Just relax. Just relax. Just breathe. Just breathe." Maybe listen to some calming music. If you go onto YouTube and listen, look for like peaceful music. Some people have uploaded like hours of like raindrops and stuff. Oh my goodness. Anyway, just loosen up. Unwind. Go to your happy place. Unfortunately, many of those ideas to find peace don't bring us true peace. They distract us for a moment. They avoid the problem. But that thing is still there. We still have to deal with it. Jesus said, "I do not give as the world gives." He wants us to know that his peace is a better peace than what the world is giving. He offers a lasting peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding, all our understanding. He offers peace that will be for all times. So what does this peace look like that Christ offers us? Well, first of all, it's a gift. And we get it when we say, "Amen. I want to follow you. Amen." Boom. We have his peace. Isaiah said it's actually a perfect peace in Isaiah 26 verse 3. "You will keep in perfect peace." That perfect peace in Hebrew is shalom, shalom. It's not just shalom peace, it's shalom, shalom. "Those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." Trusting in God is how we find this peace. Those who believe and commit to Jesus Christ as the way and the truth and the life, they find this shalom, shalom, this perfect peace. It's interesting that Jesus points out this peace to his disciples in this place of turmoil. He's told them that he's going to be arrested and crucified. He's speaking about a peace at a time when he most probably wasn't completely feeling the peace. It's almost like saying, "You can experience peace. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. I'll rise again, but this is what's going to happen." He tries to calm them down. He starts in the beginning of the chapter, in actual fact. He said, "Don't be troubled or afraid," in the beginning of chapter 14 of John. He commands them to believe in God and trust in him. He says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." You might remember that. "And if I go and prepare a place, I'll come back and take you to be with me." He's trying to help them in this place of worry that they find themselves. He says that the Father will send another one that will be there for them, the Holy Spirit, the Advocate. And so he's trying to help them in this place. Understand, he's not removing the cross from the equation. We sometimes want that. We sometimes want the thing that is causing us to not have peace to be removed. And that sometimes doesn't happen. He doesn't do it in this instance. He doesn't say, "Okay, woof, you're looking really sad. Okay, I'm not going to be crucified. It's all good." He doesn't. He doesn't do that. He continues to the cross. Wow, now you see. Wake up. Whew. If you were dozing off, that would have done it for me, I'm sure. So he doesn't remove the troubled times
from the disciples. They still have to go through it. They still have to grieve and lose. But they have the promise of his peace. How does he give peace? I believe that the peace that we need is found in the presence. We find peace in his presence. Moses, he was going to lead the people. They'd gone through the Red Sea. They'd got to a place where now they wanted to take the promised land. And he says to God, hey, who's going to go with me? What's going to happen? And God says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. It was in God's presence that he finds peace. Elijah found peace in the gentle voice of God in a storm, even when he was feeling fear and doubt. In 1 Kings 19, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. God was in that gentle whisper. He goes out, covers his face with his cloak, and God comes past in the gentle whisper. The place of peace is found in the presence of God. David's Psalms shows how he found peace. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Do you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Shake a bed, make a bed, and a bed I go. My shack, your shack, and a bungalow. I just can't help myself. Whenever I speak about these guys, it just comes out. My wife knows. She's heard it a million times. But they're about to be thrown into this fiery furnace because they will not bow down to this image of gold that Nebuchadnezzar has made. They're not fearful and trembling when they say to Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. And then they are thrown in. I'm sure that was a fearful time. But then they look into the furnace and they're walking around in the fire. Not three, but four. And the fourth is the angel of the Lord our God. In the presence of God, there is peace. When the disciples are in the boat and they see somebody coming towards them and they think this is a ghost, that's what the scripture says, they are scared. Jesus reassures them, it's me. In his presence, there's peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. And then finally he says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Can I say this morning, let peace be active in your life. Know that peace that Jesus left, the thing that you have inherited, it is with you, it is in you. Live in that place. Know that the peace that Jesus left is the peace that many people experience in the Bible. And many that have gone before us have experienced in the presence of God Almighty. It is the peace that we have inherited. Don't believe the lie that you don't have the peace. You do. One last observation. We want to live incredible, frenetic lives and have the peace. Are you hearing me? We want to live at 4,000 revs per minute, and we want to have peace. And those two things, they don't work together. I've been speaking about celebration of discipline and the spiritual disciplines that we need to have. That is where we find peace. Jesus went away to pray. He found a quiet place. He went away to a quiet place. He had his busy times. We have our busy times. But to get to a place of peace, we sometimes have to stop. You will not have the peace in the frenetic. It will happen. God is good. Remember Psalm 23? He leads me
in the presence of my enemies. He is there in the frenetic. But we also need the place where we just stop and we reconnect with God and we find His peace again. And that's where we need to be finding ourselves more than running around like crazy hoping for peace. It's more difficult. And then I was really thinking this morning that as worship was happening and I was about to stand up and preach, I really felt God needed to just use this place and this moment to offer people the opportunity to step into His peace. And the call that I really believe we need to have this morning is that I need to say, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never said, I want to be a part of this thing called Christianity. I want Jesus to be Lord and Savior of my life. I want Him to be the one that sets me free, that gives me the hope. I want to know the hope that you spoke about last week, Brian. I want to know the peace, the true peace of being in fellowship with Christ. Maybe this morning God is saying to you, commit to me. Turn to me. Start a new journey with me. I really was sensing that during the worship. If you're here today and you've never said, I want to be a part of that, I'm not asking you to join this church. Please don't think that's my agenda here. I'm wanting you to let Jesus Christ be the hope of your life. I would love that you can say, Jesus is the peace in my life. When Peter speaks about joy and then I speak about love, I'd love that you sit here going, just last week I said, Lord, be Lord of my life. I'm experiencing the hope, I'm experiencing the peace, I'm experiencing the joy because of you in my life. I'm experiencing Christmas in a new way because of you being in my life. I'm not asking you to do anything but meet Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. My closing scripture is 1 Peter 3 verse 11. Seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. So I'm going to pray. If that's you wanting to say, I want to start a new journey with Christ, I'm not going to do anything really crazy, okay? I'm not going to call you to the front. You don't have to come with tears streaming down your face. But you're welcome to cry because it's an important moment as you surrender your life. But just where you are, just say, Lord, here I am. I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to be a part of your family. I want you to be my heavenly Father. Take the sin from my life.